Greetings and welcome to the Hudson Cafe. I'm Maria Manhattan, and I am so very glad that you could join me today. I thought maybe we'd kick things off with Nina Simone and a cut from a 1965 album called I Put a Spell on You, and indeed she did. She recorded this 6 years after her debut album, and during those intervening years, Nina really matured as an artist, as a performer, and as an activist. And I think that's apparent in this recording.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean? Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world and a bold world for me. Shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. The freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me.
Yeah. Isn't that a great arrangement? It reminds me of the Peter Gunn theme, very 60s. Well, there are few women who could follow Nina Simone. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but the one that comes to mind who's really up to the job is Peggy Lee.
I got 44 pairs of socks and have them hanging out on the line. I can start an iron 24 shirts before you can count from 1 to 9. I can scoop up a great big dipper full of lard from the drippings can. Throw up the skillet, go out and do my shopping, be back before it melts in the pan. Cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. And scrub till this old house is shining like a dime. Feed the baby, grease the car, and powder my face at the same time. Get all dressed up, go out and swing till 4 a.m. and then lay down at 5 jump up at six and start all over again. 'Cause I'm a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. If you come to me sickly, you know I'm gonna make you well. If you come to me all hexed up, you know I'm gonna break the spell. If you come to me hungry, you know I'm gonna fill you full of grits. If it's loving you like an kiss and give you the shivering bits, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. I'll say it again. I got a $20 gold piece, says there ain't nothing I can do. I can make a dress out of a feed bag, and I can make a man out of you, 'cause I'm a woman, a W-O-M-A-N. I say it again, 'cause I'm a woman, W-O-M-A-N. And that's all.
Well, Forbes magazine wrote an article titled, "What Do Countries with the Best Coronavirus Responses Have in Common? Women Leaders." Now, Forbes is not exactly a bastion of liberalism, so this was quite a statement coming from them. They cited four qualities exhibited by seven female world leaders that got the job done: truth, decisiveness, tech, as in science, and love. Here's a quote from the article. "Looking for examples of true leadership in a crisis? From Iceland to Taiwan and from Germany to New Zealand, women are stepping up to show the world how to manage a messy patch for our human family. Add in Finland, Iceland, and Denmark, and this pandemic is revealing that women have what it takes when the heat rises in our houses of state. Put a woman in charge."
Way back when, in the beginning of time, man made the fire. Then the wheel went from a horse to an automobile. He set the world in mind. He took the oceans and the sky. He set the borders, built the walls. He won't stop till he owns it all. And here we are, standing on the of disaster. Enough is enough, is enough, is enough. I know the answer. Put a woman in charge. Put the woman in charge. Put a woman in charge. Put the woman in charge.
Put a woman in charge.
Katie Webster tearing up that keyboard. Katie Webster called herself the Swamp Boogie Woman. And boy, if I really could play piano, that's how I want to play. Before her, Keb Moe, Kevin Roosevelt Moore, with a song from 2018 featuring Roseanne Cash on backup, Put a Woman in Charge. Indeed. You know, we will soon be coming up on the 100th anniversary of the passing of the 19th Amendment, the one that gave women the right to vote. I hate to say the word gave. It's not like anyone just said, hey, gals, here it is. We actually suffered for it. We had to take it. And needless to say, the Hudson Cafe will be doing some sort of commemoration regarding women's equality. That would be later on in August. Meantime, here's Cecile McLaurin-Salvon with a new take on an old blues song.
Now listen, honey, while I say, now that you're telling me you're going away, don't say that we must part. Don't break my aching heart. You know I loved you true for many years, loved you night and day. How could you leave me? Can't you see my tears? Now listen while I say, after you've gone and left me crying, after you've gone, there's no denying, you'll feel sad, you'll feel blue, you'll miss the dearest pal that you've ever had. After the years we've been together, the joy and tears, all kinds of weather. Someday, when you grow lonely, your heart will break like mine, you'll want me only. After you've gone, after you've gone away. After I'm gone, after we break up, after I'm gone, you're gonna wake up. You will find you were blind to let somebody come and change your mind. After the years we've been together, the joy and tears, all kinds of weather. To be with me right back where you started. After I'm gone away. Wake up, you will. come and change your mind after the years we've been together, the joy and tears, all kinds of weather. Someday, blue and downhearted, you'll long to be with me right back where you started.
What's the best thing for you? And the best thing for you would be me. I've been convinced after thinking it through that the best thing for you would be me. Every day to myself I say, point the way, what would it be? I ask myself, what's the best thing for you and myself? And I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me. Myself, what's the best thing for you and myself? And I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me.
Diana Krall with The Best Thing for You Would Be Me. That was a very New York reading. Well, from the soundtrack of a wonderful animated film of a few years ago, here's the theme song from The Triplets of Belleville.
I want to be wicked,
Triplets of Belleville. If you haven't seen that, it's a wonderful film about three old gals, formerly vaudeville stars, a singing group. It also incorporates the Tour de France and several other things French, shall we say. At any rate, it's the Triplets of Belleville. Well, you are in the Hudson Cafe. I am so glad you could join me today. And if you just tuned us in, you're at WGXC 90.7 on your FM dial, or you may be streaming us at WGXC.org. I'm broadcasting from my home here in Hudson, New York. We serve both Columbia and Greene counties, both sides of the mighty Hudson River, as well as points much further afield. You know, for a small community radio station, our outreach is extraordinary. Why don't you become a sustaining member? What a great idea. I always make this pitch around this time in my show because I just think it is important to remind you that this show and all the other shows that you hear on WGXC are commercial free. We are coming to you because of your own generosity. So stand with us. Go to WGXC.org and click on donate. We are all in this together. And speaking of which, let me make a little segue here. Wear a mask. Three life-saving words that so many seem to have such a hard time with. You know, I was on Warren Street this weekend. It was very busy. People are really excited about being able to dine in restaurants. People want to get back to some sense of what is normal. But guess what? It's not normal. We are still dealing with COVID. I actually know a number of people who've been very, very sick. I knew someone who died of it. It's not over. I saw folks hanging out at the food truck on 5th and Warren, ordering food and not wearing masks. What is with that? You know, there are signs everywhere asking people to wear masks. It's stenciled on all the sidewalks. So get with the program. You know, if you've ever taken an antibiotic, if you've ever been to a doctor or gone to a dentist, perhaps you've taken Viagra or had a knee replacement, what's your problem? You already believe in science, so wear a mask, okay? Okay, basta. I'll calm down now. Let's move ahead, shall we, with a few laughs. You know, one of our comedy giants left the building just recently, and I'm talking about Carl Reiner. He was a real force as a writer and as a producer of great TV comedies. He was also a performer. He especially became known for his work with Mel Brooks and their great albums about the 2,000-year-old man. They began performing that act for their friends at parties. It was a complete improvisation just for the fun of it, and it turned into a tremendously popular series of albums. Carl Reiner is the interviewer. He's the straight man. He's the one who directs where things are going, actually. He throws out the question, and Mel Brooks takes that question and runs with it. They are a fine-tuned machine. So here's a cut from The 2,000-Year-Old Man with Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks.
I'd like you to meet now a gentleman who I've had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing two or three times before, the 2,000-year-old man.
Hello there.
Hi,
how are
sir?
You?
How are
yes, you? Good to see you.
You know, many people still do not believe that you are 2,000 years old, but it has been authenticated.
Yes, it has, certainly.
You are that.
I have a birth certificate in the land of Og. But I don't carry my birth certificate around.
Why?
Because it's a boulder. It's inscribed on
it. Oh, I see, yes. Well, that
can't carry
would be
that.
Cumbersome.
No. Credit cards, that's enough.
Yes. Sir, yes. Are there any more secrets you're ready to divulge about why and how to live 2,000 years?
Well, one of the big things that's kept me rolling along singing a song is garlic.
Garlic has
yes.
kept you alive? How can garlic keep you alive?
Well, garlic keeps you alive because, well, you know how you die, don't you? The scientific reason how you die is that the angel of death, see, rings your apartment bell and you let him in and bang, you know.
Comes
comes in and says, okay, Murray, this is it.
And so how does garlic help?
Usually comes at night, right?
Yes.
So before I retire, I'll eat myself a nice pound and a half of garlic. Then I lay down in bed, and I pull up my crazy quilt. And I'll starting to retire and snore.
And how does the garlic help?
Well, the angel of death, you know, comes in. He comes over to me, taps me on the shoulder. I say, who is it? And usually he goes, whoo! He takes out. Right off.
I
he's
see.
Out the door. That's...
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Sure. You know about the kiss of death, right?
Yes.
Sure, he's not going to kiss me. I'm full of garlic.
I see. Sir, what did you do 2,000 years ago to entertain each other?
I broke a wing.
Well, no, were there any?
Oh,
were there comedians?
Oh, sure.
Do you remember any of them?
No.
2,000 years ago?
Primitive days. Let me see. I remember one comedian gave us some laugh. Boy, we were hysterical.
Who was he?
Gave us some good laugh. Murray the Nut.
What did he do?
Oh, did he give us a laugh? A tiger came in the cave one afternoon, sauntered in, uninvited, naturally. Nobody asked for a tiger to walk in on you, right? Tiger came in, and Murray, you know, the joker, the tumbler, you know, the nut, he jumps up and he grabs the tiger by the tail and goes, and he went, yaha, yaha, yaha. And the tiger turned around and ate him up in a minute. And did we get hysterical? We were laughing.
That was the best joke we ever had. Well, sir, that's not very funny.
What did we have? RKOs then? That's all we had.
Yeah, but I mean, I would consider that.
That was the best we had. Murray took a tiger.
That was entertainment.
Yes.
But I would consider that in the realm of tragedy rather than comedy. How do you differentiate between tragedy? It's your point of view.
To me, tragedy, if it is, if I'll cut my finger, that's tragedy. It bleeds, and I'll cry, and I'll run around, and I'll go into Mount Sinai for a day and a half. I'm very nervous about it. And to me, comedy is if you walk into an open sewer and die. What do I care? That's comedy.
I see. That's your definition.
My finger is important.
I see. You have seen many stage presentations in the 2,000 years since the Greeks. Sir, what is the best and most interesting stage play you ever saw?
Oh, it's the Sense Talking. Anthony and Cleopatra.
Which one? That's the one that Shakespeare wrote.
What wrote? No, wrote. Life, real life. I walked up in Egypt there, and there was Cleopatra and Anthony. We all took a look at them. That was the play.
That was the original cast.
Yes, the original cast, right. We saw that.
But that wasn't a play. You weren't allowed to.
We were allowed. They knew they were a hit. They let people see them kiss.
They sold tickets to that?
Well, they didn't sell tickets. You put a few drachmas in the pot when you went in.
And really? And did you know Cleopatra?
Lovely woman.
How old? Was she really 21 when she died?
Get out of here, 21. What are you, not?
How 21. Old was she?
86, a nice age.
But why does history have it that she was 21?
History, they cook it up. She didn't die from an asp either.
What did she die
from? No, sir. You know, with the snake, with that nonsense.
What was
a
it?
A stroke. Not a stroke. Oh. They rushed her to the hospital pyramid, you know?
Yes.
And they pushed her around a little bit, and she said, well, and died.
That was her last
yes.
words.
Yeah.
You have been around a lot, sir. Medicine must intrigue you.
Yes, I happen to be a physician myself.
You were a doctor?
Oh, sorry, I was a doctor for over 100 years.
Well, why did
I
you
I liked
quit?
That for a while.
Why did you
I
quit?
Didn't know it would be popular again on TV. I would stuck with it. But, you know.
What did you have to know to be a doctor in those days?
The main thing you had to know was to say, I think he's dead. You take a finger, put it in their nose, and if they didn't say, hey, you take your finger out of my nose, they're dead, right? That's how you found out.
Sir, you must have known many great men in your time. Many great men.
I knew the great and the near great.
Sir, did you know Rembrandt van Rijn?
We called him Rembrandt.
You knew him?
Yes. You know, Rembrandt was one of the first to use the roller.
What? How could you possibly? The roller, you mean the
little roller, yes.
No.
Only for the background. Rembrandt didn't eat much, you know, the money always went for paint. Occasional girl, and then paint. And paint, and paint, and then a girl, then paint, and a girl, then paint, and then for a long time, just girls.
How about Michelangelo? Did you ever
How about him?
Is that all you care to say about
yeah.
him?
Yeah, nice fella. Used to come in the store once in a while.
Michelangelo was one of your customers.
Oh, a big customer.
Did he ever pay you off in a piece of art?
No, I used to cuff him a lot.
What? You know, oh, you really?
Put him on a cuff.
Did you think of taking
those
a piece
painters
of
his... never had money.
Well, didn't you think of taking a piece of his art? It would be worth...
I thought it stunk. Who knew?
Why did
I
you
I would
think
have
that?
Gladly taken it.
Why did you think that?
Of course, there's all people flying around, you know. It wasn't like a nice picture of somebody on a pony. It wasn't nice.
They were naked, too.
Yes, and they're naked. You can't hang a naked in your living room.
They do now.
Now, well, now they're modern and dirty. And then we were clean and cute.
Sir, have you ever been asked to spy?
I spied for Washington.
For our country?
Yes, for the father of our country, President George Washington. I not only was a spy for George, I was a counter spy.
What do you, I don't understand that.
Well, we had a little restaurant in Valley Forge. I worked the counter and listened. See? The counter spy, you know?
I see.
Every once in a while.
Who did you listen to?
A Hessian would come in under this, you know, and I'd listen. You could hear that. Was ist gemacht? I knew it was a Hessian. Right?
I see.
I would tell George, a Hessian. Come out. They give him a smack in the head, and that's it, you know?
You were very close to the whole revolution, weren't you?
Yes.
Did you know Benedict Arnold?
I knew him and I despised him.
Because he was a traitor?
No, because he told me... he told me he was going to meet me that night and I had a date.
Did you know he was a traitor?
The same night he was supposed to bring a girl for me, he goes and betrays his country.
That's terrible. Sir, you have... Do you know the origin of some of our sports? Are you interested in sports at all?
Well, tennis is a heck of a game.
When did tennis first start? In England, didn't it?
No, way before England. Tennis started in Egypt.
How did it... Did somebody invent it?
No.
Or was it accidental?
In Egypt, then, there used to be skunks. Skunk would walk around near your pyramid. You take a stick, bang it, hit him away, right?
Yes.
Happen to hit him next to somebody else's pyramid. He don't want a skunk. Bang, he hits him back to you. Well, you give the skunk, bang, another shot. Bang, bang, bang. That was tennis.
I see. People used to sit and watch that.
Right. But... Then you jump over the skunk and shake hands. You know, the one finally where it finally ends up.
How did they get the term racket? Why did they call it a tennis racket?
Oh, that came because of Egypt. They used catgut. Cats. There were many cats in Egypt. See, that's where they get the term racket.
How?
Well, when you start taking the guts out of a cat, that's some racket they make. You want to hear a racket?
Yes.
They swing pretty
I
good.
See.
They don't give you their guts so easily, you know. That's where the term racket
Yeah, I see. Sir, you have vacationed, I guess, all over the world.
Yes, I love vacations. I love to take a nice holiday.
Favorite resort of all?
Europe. I keep a locker in Europe.
What advice would you give to the youth of the world to make this a peaceful, happy world?
Well, I would say to the children of the world, listen to your mother and your father. Listen to your grandmother and your grandfather. Listen to an aunt, to an uncle. Listen to a smart niece. Listen to a good-looking cousin. And mainly, listen to your heart. And listen to your watch. Listen to your fountain pen. Listen to your inkwell. But never, never, ever listen to a fellow come over to you with pointy teeth. You know why? Because that's Dracula. And I don't want you to listen to him. He's no good. Now goodbye and good luck.
Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks, the 2,000-year-old man. And I think I can only follow that up with a song written by Mel Brooks as the theme for his very first movie.
Hope for the best.
Expect the worst. Some drink champagne, some die of thirst. No way of knowing which way it's going. Hope for the best. Expect the worst.
Hope for the best.
Expect the worst.
That was splendid.
Then he died the day he planned
to go and spend it
shouting, live while you're alive. No one will survive.
Life is sorrow.
Here today and gone tomorrow. Live while you're alive. No one will survive. There's no guarantee. Hope for the best.
respect the worst.
You could be Tolstoy or Fanny Burst.
So take your chances, there are no answers. Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Up on a tie wire, one side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tie rope, one side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place me, a comedy of errors and I'm falling. Like a rubber-necked giraffe, you look into my past. Well, maybe you're just too blind to see. I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude seems to get to me. I'm up on a tight wire, flanked by life and the funeral pyre, putting on a show for you to see. Past. Well, maybe you're just too blind to see. I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude really gets to me. I'm up on a tight wire, flanked by life and the funeral pyre. But I ain't gonna show you to see.
Leon Russell with a timeless sentiment. You know, on our last show, I played a song by the Dixie Chicks. It was their cover of a Fleetwood Mac tune called Landslide. It's a song about change. And speaking of change, the very next day after I played that song, they changed their name. To honor the tenor of the times, they changed their name from the Dixie Chicks to the Chicks. Natalie Maines on vocals and the two instrumentalist sisters, Marty Irwin McGuire and Emily Strayer, have always responded to the tenor of the times, even when it meant some pretty harsh blowback. So I want to honor them. Let's give a listen to one of their big hits, Long Time Gone.
I haven't had a chance or an opportunity to talk to our next guest here, so I wonder if you would be kind enough to tell us your name and where you come from.
Harlow. P. Whitcomb. From Glens. Falls,
New York, right? Glens Falls, New York?
New York. I am president and recording...
Secretary. Recording secretary. Right?
Secretary of the STOA.
What does that stand for?
The Slow Talkers of
America.
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 We believe in forming our thoughts,
words,
ideas,
ideas,
opinions, carefully.
Before uttering them, so you'll never be misunderstood, right?
And thoroughly. Before uttering them. So that...
You'll never be misunderstood.
We will never be misunderstood. We are here...
In New York City.
In New York City. Attending our annual...
Convention, your annual convention. Hey.
Membership convention. All of our members are here. All talking
slowly.
Slowly. Every one of them. All 200
members.
And 50
members.
Seven. Members here talking slowly, as opposed to the members of the
FTOA.
T-O-A.
O-A.
A. The fast...
Talkers of America.
Talkers...
Of America.
Of...
America.
America. We have a credo which each...
New member must learn.
New member must learn.
I...
I, a member of the...
That was Bob and Ray with one of their absolute classic comedy bits. You know, there's that phrase, timing is everything. And I think that's a perfect demonstration of what we mean by that. Well, I want to thank you for joining me in the Hudson Cafe today. I'm Maria Manhattan, and let's go out with a little Madeleine Peru. I'm all right. So I'll see you next time. Keep your humor. The future looks great. Yeah. Wear a mask.
He made me laugh. He made me cry. He smoked his stogies in bed. But I'm all right. I'm all right. Been lonely before. I asked the boy for a few kind words. He gave me a novel instead. But I'm all right. I'm all right. I've been lonely. wanted to say that isn't much fun when you're drinking for one. He got drunk, he fell down, he threw a few of my things around. But I'm all right, I'm all right. I've been lonely before. Christmas songs in bed.